Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan in studio with us. Greetings.
We're doing this forever.
Right.
It's
fine. I'm good with that.
Fogarty's got enough. Anyway, all right. Before we get into the real stuff, I brought something special for you.
You did?
On this Halloween Eve, I thought, what is truly terrifying for Richard?
Oh, no.
And I found it.
Uh-oh. Oh,
that's for you, baby.
You
keep that. You keep that and you stare at it.
Oh, it's a Ray Knight baseball card.
It's a double treat today.
Oh, baby. I heard the opening of the show. Oh, I'm like, wait a minute.
Oh, my God. It's like them throwing holy water on Regan and the Exorcist.
I'm telling you, baby.
Ray Knight in my left hand, Bucky bleeping Dent in my right.
Now, you don't understand what it takes for me to give you that. I have a heart space for Ray Knight. And I think the reason was because when I was first paying attention to the sports, right?
And it's the card. It's from the 86 season. Jeez Louise.
So I even then knew that the rest of his teammates, Ron Darling excepted, maybe Gary Carter, were all someday to be vilified. Be it on Seinfeld or actually because they were tremendous cocaine abusers. But because I went through, actually they're all in my son's room now, which we only realized because as we were sharing off air, we dismantled my son's room for his birthday. And I was like, oh my God, it's some of my old baseball cards. And then when you mentioned that, I'm like, I've got to have a Ray Knight in there somewhere. I've got all the hits. I've got all the hits.
I liked Cincinnati Reds Ray Knight, Houston Astros Ray Knight, but that guy.
I have manager Joe Morgan. I have, of the Red Sox. What else do I have? I have their former manager when he was playing on the Indians.
Oh,
I'm an old man.
Wow, you are.
These cards, and they're not even my oldest cards, but they're the cards like that, the 86, 87, 88 tops especially. By the way, I know we're going to talk about wine, but when did sports cards become a monopoly?
Yeah.
It's all Panini now, which I think of as a sandwich.
And Topps is shut out.
Can you imagine, all these people, Leaf, Fleer? I'm sure these companies have long ceased to exist. But they must have, their executives must have been like, excuse me, what now?
Right.
See, I grew up with a single card company, Topps.
Which was it.
I mean, Bowman had gone out of business in the 60s.
Yeah,
so
see, that was interesting. Like, the I grew whole time up knowing that there was the Bowmans and the others, and then there was a lapse. And then in mid-70s, I guess, and late-70s and early-80s is really when the
boom, when you had an Upper Deck. And
That became, but Fleer happened early.
Fleer happened in, Don Russ and Fleer started coming in, 81, 82.
Right.
But the 70s and the mid-60s all through the 70s was
dominated
just
by Topps.
That's
so interesting. It's so fascinating to me. Especially now, I thought memorabilia was done. I thought it was done.
It was for a while,
Gone with the Dodos. Yeah. And now it's really, so there you go.
I love it. Thank you.
It's cool. Hey, listen.
he will have a place of honor here in studio.
I don't believe you. All right. This is our special Halloween edition. We've been, touching on things, but every now and then as we head towards our favorite spooky holiday, I like to sort of talk about wine and alcohol and worldwide rituals because it's kind of fun. When we're talking about Halloween, obviously there's not a lot of booze talk, but Halloween is associated with the dark rites and things like that. And so I always like to kind of talk about, some of the weirder things that the people do with alcohol. And, obviously, Christianity, it's kind of boring. We are the only, I'm not Christian anymore. Technically, I was born Christian, but it is the only religion. And we are certainly a Christian-based society. If you don't believe that, ask yourself why the wineries that dubbed themselves Sacramental Wine survived Prohibition and no one else did. Anyway, but Christian society is, Christians are the only ones that actually drink wine and consider it the blood of their savior. That's a very unique thing, which is kind of, it's intriguing. This is not a commentary. It's just intriguing that, like, literally,
I consider it the savior of my blood.
There you go. Well, it's intriguing that you know, also it does have to, you know, bear in mind that, you know, back in the day, water was kind of contaminated, and things like wine and beer and other things played a large part in people actually making it through the day. But it's a thing, you know, and so that's a very interesting thing. Judaism, which obviously is tied to Christianity in terms of their first book and the first book of the Bible. Obviously, wine used for blessings on certain holidays, prescribed amounts on Passover, etc. But treatment of it, what I was just saying, as part of a diet, which is part of the reason why there's all these rules about kosher, it's because there was a lot of, like, dirty food. And I really think that was part of the societal efforts to make things a little bit safer for their people. So just, you know, again, food for thought. Christians in Mexico have taken it a little step further. They leave tequila and mezcal as offerings on the Day of the Dead. And in the Eastern Orthodox Christianity, especially in Russia, vodka is blessed by priests and imbibed at religious celebrations like Easter. So people adapt to what they have, right? We have wine, Mexico, they have tequila mezcal. In Russia, they have vodka. But it always seems to make its way into religious ceremonies. I don't know why. Islam. It is forbidden. But there is mention in the Quran that wine is a blessing. Again, I think probably because there was a time in that part of the world where drinking wine was probably a little bit safer than maybe drinking some of the water. So, again, food for thought. Eastern religions get a little more fun. And by a little more, I mean a lot more. Eastern religions, we'll talk about Tibetan Buddhism. One of the most ancient rituals in Tibetan Buddhism is drinking from the Kapala. That's a sacred sculpted cup made from the top of an actual human skull.
I mean,
there's nothing better. Right? Come on. Indiana Jones, right? Come on. carved and adorned with precious metals and jewels, then filled with alcoholic beverages, blood, or dough cakes.
I will go with the dough cakes.
I'm going to go with the alcoholic beverages. As offerings to meant to appease wrathful deities. Drinking from the skull is reserved for only the most experienced of lamas. And I think that Rich Kimball is certainly one of the most experienced of lamas.
Question.
As it supposedly transfers the knowledge and karma of the skull's former owner to the drinker. I would pick and choose the skull that you use. Mm-hmm. Moving on. Taoists and certain sects of Buddhism believe in the realm of hungry ghosts. I have children who are very much like hungry ghosts, which is sort of a purgatory for people who have had violent or unhappy deaths. I don't know what that means. But during the seventh month of the Chinese calendar, the gates of the realm are opened and hungry ghosts roam the earth seeking retribution. Again, I invite you to witness my children after a soccer game. To combat these vindictive and hungry ghosts, Taoists hold a big feast during which gifts are offered to the ghosts to ward off bad luck. Families offer food, livestock, cakes, rice, wine, beer, and other alcohol to the ghosts who are called to the table by a bell. People throw the goods in the air to distribute the ghosts in different directions, sending them back to their realm. There you go. This is my favorite. I cannot express how much I someday would love to witness at least a YouTube video of this. The Japanese Shinto religion, which reveres sake as the most sacred of drinks, the liquor of the gods. The god of sake is also the god of rice and the harvest, so drinking sake is associated with a bountiful and blessed harvest. It is a standard offering for all deities at all Shinto shrines and an important part of agricultural rites. Like the, and I'm sure I'm messing this up, Jinkansai ground purification ritual.
I need to know about this.
Some of the more intense rituals include a festival, in Tonami, I guess this is a city, where people feed sake to the carp in order to exorcise the waters of evil spirits. Animal activists are not fans of this. Shocking. But more fun is the winter festival, during which young men drink incredible amounts of sake and defend a Shinto shrine against men wielding torches using nothing but pine branches. Maybe this was a MAGA rally in Charlotte. Maybe this is Japanese culture. I don't know. Either way, sounds good to me. the best, of course, the ones that we can associate mostly folklore tradition holds with the Vikings, which we all know the toast skål. Well, they were looking into each other's eyes during that toast, and really, by the way, the toast skål means shell or bowl, because they were drinking out of, you guessed it, a human skull.
All right.
I mean, come on. It's the Vikings. What did you think? They were using fine china? Anyway, but they were looking in each other's eyes because they didn't want each other to draw broadswords and maybe end the toast early.
Oh.
So there you go. Just this is to say that people use alcohol in all sorts of weird traditional ways. Nothing really fun on Halloween except the adults using it to numb their pain at having to shell out, you know, candies to the throngs. Speaking of which, good luck to everybody, especially on Maple and around Fairmount. Godspeed. And I will join you all next week to talk about, wine again as opposed to weird Shinto rituals. Hope you're all well. Get the shot, get the booster, get your kids vaccinated when that's available.
Get this Merlot, it's fantastic.
And get this Merlot, Sidekick Merlot, made by my old colleague, Burke O'Halloran. Do it.
Thank you, Eric. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor.